Good afternoon. Today's date is March 30th, 2024. The message today is faith. Holy Scriptures, Habakkuk 2 and 4, Matthew 17, chapter 15 through the 21st verse. Forgiving Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, 9th through the 10th verse. Testimony, Revelation 12, chapter and 11th verse. So I will be working today briefly with you on behalf of the faith. When I say the faith, I am speaking of one who was called by Christ and one who answered. So I want to go ahead and speak just briefly over here from the book of Habakkuk. So Habakkuk is a minor prophet. He's a minor prophet, and he's given a word here to the church. So he is explaining himself here out of the second chapter. I was going to start at the second chapter and the fourth verse, but I'm going to go a little bit further here. So Habakkuk here, he have visions, and these visions can be dreams. Okay, I'm going to start here from the second chapter of Habakkuk. Also, the work that I'm doing, the teaching that I'm doing, is holiness. Holiness is the teaching. I say holiness because I'm speaking on behalf of the life that Jesus Christ himself produced in the New Testament. Now I'm working from the Old Testament over to the New. Now why is that? Because I'm working with faith. Many don't have faith because they have not gotten a word from Jesus Christ heart to heart. Faith is developed when Jesus Christ called a person, male or female, into the life of holiness. Whereas Jesus Christ have produced that work because he was also called to do the work of holiness. That's over in the New Testament. Right now, I'm going to start out with the Old Testament. This is one of the old prophets. So when I say prophecy, I'm speaking on behalf of one whom our Heavenly Father, at this time, Jesus Christ was not on the scene. So over in the Old Testament, Habakkuk, his words is still alive. Why? Because our Heavenly Father was the one that spoke to his heart and gave him the ministry. And after he gave him the ministry, he did the work. That's how we develop faith. Faith without works, the Bible said, is dead. Faith without works is dead. However, Habakkuk is a minor prophet. He's minor. He's a minor prophet, so he have a very short book here. However, the work is very important because our Heavenly Father, he was the one that called Habakkuk into the work of prophecy. When one is called to do a work, then once that work is done and completed, then that's how we develop faith. We cannot develop faith if we have not received a work. Excuse me, if we have not received a word from our Heavenly Father. So therefore, we as the new church, we receive our word from Jesus Christ. That's why I say I'm working with holiness. Holiness is defined as Jesus Christ performing the work that our Heavenly Father called him to do. So he was spoken of by other prophets. He was confirmed by Moses. He was also confirmed by Jeremiah and Isaiah. Those are two of them. That's Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah. Those are three prophets that confirm the work of Jesus Christ. So here I'm going to start here right at the beginning of Habakkuk, the second chapter. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. So here the prophet is on a watch. So the prophet can watch. The prophet can watch because the prophet have gifts. The prophet have the gift of sight, foresight, and insight. So our Heavenly Father can work with the prophet as he obey him and do what he tells him to do. So here, Habakkuk have a, he have a mind to watch. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. So he's standing upon the watch. So the prophet can watch because our Heavenly Father gave the prophet talent and sight ability. And he confesses here and he says, and will watch to see what he will say unto me. Who is he? He's speaking on behalf of our Heavenly Father. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. Second verse. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets. Excuse me, upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. That he may run that readeth it. So the person here that readeth this word, which is a vision. So we can have visions. We don't have to necessarily be in a sleep to have a vision. But vision, when the writer here is speaking on behalf of a vision, they could be talking about a person that's having a dream, but the Bible didn't say dream, vision. So that vision comes, that means that Habakkuk saw something, vision. He saw something well with his eyes. Second verse, and the Lord answered me and said, so here the Lord is speaking to Habakkuk. How? With a word. He's saying here, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. Make it plain upon tables. So our Heavenly Father is giving Habakkuk some direction and instructions. He is giving Habakkuk a word, and he's given him some instructions and directions. So this vision is to come forth for the future. And the Lord says, second verse, and the Lord said, answer me. So the Lord is saying to Habakkuk to answer me. So the Lord wants an answer from Habakkuk. And said, write the vision. So the Lord is giving Habakkuk a word, write the vision. He's giving him some information with his sight ability and make it plain, meaning this means for Habakkuk to make this word understandable and where he want to make it understandable upon tables. So the Lord want Habakkuk to put this word on the table, tables, meaning more than one, that he may run that readeth it. So when a person read this word and believe it, then that person will run. Where? In his mind. Third verse, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. So the vision is not for now. So vision, spiritually and prophetically, is speaking on behalf of one who can see. So our Heavenly Father is here giving Habakkuk a word, and this word is in the format of his sightability. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. So the vision is not for that particular time that he was receiving this word from our Heavenly Father. So Habakkuk is not receiving a word from Jesus Christ, our Lord. Habakkuk is receiving a word from our Heavenly Father. But at the end, it shall speak. So he got the vision. He saw it. So he got the vision, but he did hear from our Heavenly Father, but our Heavenly Father is giving Habakkuk a word that this vision is only for appointed time, which is not for that particular time. Third verse, I want to read this once again. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. So it's not for that particular time, but he's getting this word presently, but the word is coming forth in the future. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. So this word is coming directly from our Heavenly Father to the heart of Habakkuk, and this word shall come to pass. So that's my interpretation of it. So I'm going to read once again, third verse. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, that word is defined as stay. So the word is not going to come forth all of a sudden. It's coming at a appointed time. Tarry meaning to, is T-R-R-Y. That word is defined as to remain somewhere, though it tarry, wait for it. Although the word didn't come immediately, the Lord is giving, our Heavenly Father is giving Habakkuk a word that although the word is for an appointed time. I'm going to read it once again. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. So the word is coming forth because it's a word from our Heavenly Father. And Habakkuk obeyed our Heavenly Father and he complied his heart to receive a word from Almighty God. And he said the word is not going to be a lie. Though it tarry, meaning though it will not come forth right away, meaning it will not come, that word will not come forth, not quickly. So though it tarry, that means that tarry, that word means, tarry means though it is going to, not come forth, it's going to be in a stable place. It's going to stay somewhere. Wait for it. Wait for the word, because the Bible is giving us understanding. The writer is giving us understanding that this word is going to be stabilized somewhere. It's not coming forth right away. But our Heavenly Father is giving Habakkuk a word that the word is coming. So wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So it's not going to always be, it's not going to always stay in one particular place, but it will not tarry. Meaning it will not stay. It will come forth, but it's going to be held up somewhere. So Habakkuk is getting an explanation why that word is not coming forth all of a sudden. Folks, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just shall live by faith. So now Habakkuk is speaking about one who is proud. His soul is lifted up. So someone here in the scripture, the Bible did not give us whom he's talking about, but he's talking about a person. He's talking about a person. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright. So that proud person is lifted because they elevated themselves. But the just shall live by faith. So those of us whom our Heavenly Father helped develop in his word, for his holiness, for his righteousness, and we obey what he tells us to do, when he gives us a word, then those individuals develop into the justification of faith. If we don't do what the Lord tells us to do, then we don't develop faith. So I'm going to run over here, and I want to talk about faith. Many individuals don't know what that word means. That word faith is defined as one whom the Lord called and the Lord give a word or a vision to that individual, and they comply their heart to it and they accept it. So Jesus Christ is the one that came with the doctrine. The doctrine is defined as teaching. So Jesus Christ have the gift to teach. So when one is teaching, that individual is very special, because that individual is laying down a foundation and structure. Excuse me. Jesus Christ is here teaching his disciples in the book of Matthew. So Matthew is giving witness on behalf of the work of Christ. So when we don't have faith, that means that we have not heard from our Heavenly Father. So Jesus Christ is here working because our Heavenly Father has called him, and he was one of the prophets whom our Heavenly Father called to do the work of holiness. He is the one that laid the final work for holiness and righteousness. So I want to run through a few words, holy words. We need to understand holy words so that we'll know how to understand the details of the work of holiness. So I want to start here with the word confirmation, because the reason why I use the word confirmation is because when Jesus Christ speak a word to our heart to heart, then we get confirmation that Jesus spoke it. How? By way of the Holy Spirit, by way of the Holy Ghost, because it's three there that works together as our Heavenly Father. He's the one that created and made all things and all spirits. That's our Heavenly Father. The Son is Jesus Christ. He's the one that redeemed our soul back from the devil. So he bought us back. How? With his blood. Because he's the one that went out on the cross and performed the work of redemption. The third person is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one who is our comforter. He's the one that comforts us and counsels us. He's the one that gives us direction. He gives us direction how? He gives us direction. He gives us direction. He gives us direction. By giving us a word. So when a man doesn't have direction, then that man or female cannot grow properly. When you have children, I have children. So the first thing I decided to do in the beginning of their life is give them direction. You feed the child first. As the child grows, you move forward with giving the child the next steps. The next steps when you're feeding a child is that you teach the child whom the mother and father is. What is the mother's, how to say mommy and how to say father. Next, after you feed the child, you work with the child a while and you make sure the child is healthy. As the child start to grow, then the child need to learn more words. We are informational beings. We're supposed to have information. That causes us to live if we get the right information. You see, some children, they don't have no self-esteem. They don't have any, aggression to move forward or to make. That's after that they are grown up a bit, maybe 6 or 7 years old. But if the parents love the child, then the child can develop self-esteem because the parents have taught the children by 5 or 6 years old how to go to the bathroom and how to, you know, release their waste and how to, at 6 years old, you're teaching a child, possibly you got the child in the first grade because you've been developing the child. Well, we should develop as well if we are eating, if we're receiving, when I say eating, if we're receiving a word from the mouth of Christ by the minister. I know most individuals do not get a word from the Lord. How do I know? Because they're not alive in the word of God. So we don't have a way to believe in Christ if we don't have the Lord to give us a word. That does not mean that we're not his chosen children. That just means that we have not been introduced to a word of prophecy. We have not been introduced to Christ by way of Christ speaking to our heart. So most of the church does not have a word from Christ. They're not receiving any information from Jesus Christ our Heavenly Savior. And how do I know that? Because they don't have any faith built up. How does faith build up? Faith is built when we are sitting with the right individuals that our Heavenly Father have called to teach us teachings or to be honored when we can prove the teacher. So we don't want someone teaching us if our Heavenly Father, if Jesus Christ, when I say our Heavenly Father, I'm talking about all three, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. They all three work as one. So when two or three is working as one, that means that they are in agreement with all of the same information. So when Jesus Christ speaks to our heart, we can become alive. So we, as beginners in the Word of God, we may not understand the full of the work of holiness. Many flee holiness. Why? Because they don't understand. So most of all of the organization, you can understand how they are feeding by looking at those whom is following them. If you're following me to Christ, and Christ gave me a word to my heart and spoke a word of prophecy to my heart, then if I give it out like Christ, my Lord, want me to give it out by way of speaking a word, then that person that receives that word should have some faith. Faith is developed how? Faith come by hearing. Hearing how? Of the word of God. So many are hearing words, and you have individuals there that confess that they are ministering the word of God. But if there's no life in the person that says that they are receiving a word from the Lord, from a ministry, from a woman, or from a male gender, then if there's no life there, then that's proof that they have not received a word from the Lord. Now, when we are receiving, we can receive religion. In America, we have a system called religion. So you have individuals there that says that the Lord called them to pastor. Pastoring, that office means that person that was called to that office, that means that is defined where as our Heavenly Father, where is Jesus Christ. I use all three because many don't understand the Trinity. But when Jesus Christ speak a word to a pastor, and that pastor is giving that word to a congregation or to to a service with a group of people, if that word comes directly from the mouth of Jesus Christ to that pastor, then that's called feeding, because they are feeding information from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to a people, so that people should have evidence there that Jesus Christ gave them a word of prophecy. So here I'm talking about holy words. So the word holiness, the word holiness is an adjective. The word holiness is defined as Jesus Christ in prophecy, meaning Jesus Christ speaking a word to a group of people or to a person or to a congregation. The word holiness, I'm going to go over this definition again. The word holiness is Jesus Christ in prophecy, establishing the life of righteousness of his word. Now, once Jesus Christ give us a word and began to establish a life there for us to live by, then guess what we need? We need the counselor. That's the Holy Ghost speaking through Jesus Christ. Why do we need the counselor? We need the counselor because we don't have direction on our own. We need Jesus Christ to give us a word through those whom he have there for direction and for reasons for living. Okay, it's another holy word here. This word is air, H-E-I-R. This word is a noun. So we are heir to the throne of Jesus Christ. So when you say heir, we're speaking of one who is there as a beneficiary or a successor. So that word heir, when I use that word, I'm reminding that of a family. If a family owns property or things, well, the leader in the family, maybe a mother or a father, have a will. So if they have a will there, then their children is heir if they put their children in authority to receive their things or whatever they have accomplished on the earth. Whatever they accomplish, they can give their children authority to become beneficiaries to their things when they are passed on. So here in Christ Jesus, we have promises there. But if we don't have teachers to give us guide and to give us foundation, when we're laying foundations, we're laying down structure. Those are rules. Well, you don't want someone to give you rules if Jesus Christ, our Lord, did not speak those rules to one's heart, because those rules is for living. When we're raising our children, we give them rules. And one of the main rules is we want our children to go to school and get an education. The next rule is we want our children to understand how to pick out or select the right kind of friends. And another rule we want our children to complete college. Why? Because we are building their character. Well, in the gospel, when we are building, we want Jesus Christ to give us how to format a work for his people so that they can be effective for living. If a child don't have structure, meaning rules, then the child can go astray. How does a child go astray? The child don't know what his parents, his or her parents did not teach them. And the same in the Word of God. So many say that they're teaching holiness, but how you confirm that leader, that pastor, or apostle, or teacher is teaching holiness, you look at the fruits of their work. Where should their fruits be found? With those whom they have been teaching. So I can tell, because I have enough, I can understand, I won't say tell, I can understand who been teaching many of the individual people that said they've been taught holiness. And so they have the Lord there, but they don't have structure. When I say they don't have structure, meaning that they don't understand how to conduct themselves. They don't understand how to respect the Word of God. All of that is involved in the content of a teaching. I know that I sat with many great leaders, but I didn't get structure because they were not laying it down. And so when you don't get structure, that's when you can go in the wrong direction. You can marry the wrong people. You can get the wrong kind of friends. That does not mean our Lord Jesus Christ is not going to speak to us and give us that structure because we need it. But it is good if we have leadership that we can prove. We always prove and confirm leadership, how do we do that? We go before the Lord and ask the Lord, is this person in condition to teach? And if so, how do we think with that person? We need to have those details so that we can receive the information with confidence. So the word heir is a noun, which is a person who have benefits in the family. The word redemption is a noun. The word redemption is defined as forgiveness of sin or remission of sin. So Jesus Christ has forgiven us. So how and where do we, how do we think from there? We need knowledge. You know why we need knowledge? We need knowledge so that we can live. Okay, so I'm talking here about faith. Faith is developed when our Heavenly Father, over our speaking, I do have someone that joined us. Thanks for joining us today. I was speaking from the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a chosen child of God. I'm going to run over there to those scriptures once again because I have time. So I'm talking about faith. We don't develop faith except our Heavenly Father give us a word. Our children cannot develop confidence in themselves without a parent who will give them the proper direction and a proper word. Well, when a child is first born, we want to teach that child according to its age. So at 3 years old, that child, you're usually teaching that child how to walk, strengthen his legs. So if the child don't have no teaching about how to walk, then the child just may sit there and not try to get up to walk because the child don't understand that word, they don't understand that part of their lives. They don't understand it. Why? Because they need their parents to teach them how to walk. Then the next step, the first step, we're going to teach the child how to talk. And we're going to teach the child about all the beginner information that a newborn needs to be taught. Okay, when the child is 45 years old, then we're going to teach the child. When that child is about 2 to 3 years old, I'm going back a little bit, we're going to teach the child how to go and use the potty, how to release, where to go and how to do it. Or they will do what? They will use the potty in their panties. But that lasts for a little while. When that child is 4 and 5 and 6 years old, that child should have those steps in place. Well, we don't need anyone to teach us that when we're adults because our parents taught us that. But we do need to understand how to retain what we receive from the mouth of those who confess to be teachers. I am a teacher. Guess what other gift I have? I have the gift to pastor. That means I can feed the church. I can give the church information, and when they receive it, if they comply it to their heart, then they should be effective in that area for living. Those are steps. After the child reached the age of 5 years old, the child is in kindergarten. Why? Because the parents have taught the child their ABCs, taught the child, they're getting the child, they're prepping the child. That's what happens in the gospel. So in the gospel, we are to be prepped so that we can be sound. So at 5 years old, that child should know how to rehearse their ABCs. After the ABCs in that child, because that's the beginning steps for that child. After the ABC, that child should understand how to count from 1 to 100. at 5 years old, because we're prepping the child for the first grade. So that's how we are to be taught. We are to have some understanding. We are to have some structure. Those are rules. But we don't want the wrong rules, because we can't put the wrong rules in our heart and mind. Afterwards that we do that, then we could be stuck somewhere, because those are the wrong rules. Plus, we don't want people controlling our mind, because our mind is what develops our life. Many do that in religion. In America, they do. So I'm going to read here just briefly out of the book of Habakkuk, because I am explaining the process of faith in God. So Habakkuk is one of the minor prophets. Habakkuk have a short book. However, this book is very important, because he is called into a office called prophet. The prophet is the one who gets a word from our Heavenly Father. This time, Jesus Christ was not on the scene, because this is over in the old. We don't live over in the old, but we can still honor this word. Why? Because our Heavenly Father gave a word to a man in the office of prophet. So that means when I say he gave a word to a prophet for a people. And when that people received that word, then that people should live. So I'm going to read him and start here, the second chapter of Habakkuk. So Habakkuk had faith. You know how I know that? Because he is yielded to our Heavenly Father. He is in the office of prophet, and he's receiving a word from our Heavenly Father, and he's going to comply it to his heart, and he's going to give that word out to a people. But why? Because he have faith. When we have faith, we receive the Lord when he speaks to us. And also we comply his word according to what instructions he gave us for that word. Okay, the second chapter of Habakkuk, the first verse, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. So here, Habakkuk, he have the gift to see. That's why he said he will stand upon his watch, because he's watching for who? Our Heavenly Father. That's whom he is watching for. Second verse, and the Lord answered me. So the Lord answered Habakkuk, because the Lord knew that Habakkuk was waiting for him to speak to him. Second verse, I'm going to read this all over again. And the Lord answered me and said, so now the Lord is speaking to Habakkuk, and this is developing Habakkuk's confidence in our Heavenly Father. Write the vision. So our Heavenly Father is giving Habakkuk some instructions here. He's giving him a word of instructions to write the vision. So when we speak of vision, we usually think of a dream. But he's not asleep. He is getting a word from our Heavenly Father. So our Heavenly Father is here giving him a word, and he's giving him a letter here, a word on behalf of vision. So when I think of a vision, I think of my eyes. I'm going to read this once again. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain. So when our Heavenly Father gave Habakkuk this word, he said, make it plain, meaning to give an understanding. Upon what? Tables. So he wants Habakkuk to read. He wants excuse me, I want to say this all over again. He want Habakkuk to place this word somewhere. He want to place it on a table. Not a table, but tables. That he may run that readeth it. So the one that's going to read this word, they're going to get this word from a table. He's going to get this word from tables, excuse me. And the one that read it is going to get a hearted man to run. That does not mean that they're going to physically run, but they're going to move in their minds in a way where they are running. That's what prophecy can do. So Habakkuk have faith because Habakkuk is there allowing our Heavenly Father to give him a word for an appointed time. So the third verse, for the vision, still talking about vision. So vision is defined as sight, but our Heavenly Father is giving Habakkuk a word. And so that word is defined here as vision. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, meaning that vision is for the future. It's not for right then, it's for the future. But at the end, it shall speak. So right now, this word is not going to be developed. It's not developing at the present time. It's for the future. I want to read this once again in the same verse. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. So the people is not going to receive this vision right now. They're going to receive it in the future, later on, and not last. So that means that this word is the truth. It's not a lying vision, but it's the truth. Some people give out lying vision. They say the Lord said, and the Lord didn't tell them that. That is a person that made up a word and said the Lord said it. But here, Habakkuk, the Lord has given him a word. So I'm going to read on down a little bit further. Though it tarry, the word tarry means to remain somewhere. So the word is going to remain in a particular place and on a particular territory, but it's not coming forth yet. And so the rest of this word reads, wait for it. So that means that our Heavenly Father is giving Habakkuk, the prophet, direction and instruction to wait for the word to come forth. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry, meaning that it will not remain in a place where the word is not moving forth. So this word is going to develop. Fourth verse, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright, so in him. So the word lifted up, that means that's a proud person. Many folks is proud. So this person that Habakkuk is speaking on behalf of, is proud. Fourth verse, I'm going to read this once again. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. So when the Bible speaks of the just shall live by faith, that is defined as when our Heavenly Father gives us a word and we receive it and we apply that word to our heart. And we do know when we are getting a word of prophecy. You know how we get a word of prophecy? When our Heavenly Father speaks it to us and confirm that he said it. So we don't stumble at prophecy. We understand when our Heavenly Father is speaking to our heart. Why? Because he's holy. Now that's for the Old Testament. Now, I'm getting ready to go over here to the New Testament. That word is still good. That word is still alive. because our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father spoke that word to the heart of the prophet for a people. When a person say that they are a prophet or a prophetess, that is a office, that means that that is defined as where is our Heavenly Father have spoke that word and gave that person an assignment to put that word or that work in front of people. Okay, so here I'm speaking on behalf of faith. We have faith when Jesus Christ, now we are under the new covenant. We are under the new covenant. We're not under the old covenant. Let's run over here right quick to the book of Hebrews. I wasn't going over there, but I'm going to go over there. So we're under the new covenant. So that does not mean we don't believe in the old, but we need to understand how to believe it. So I can teach from the old to the new because I know how. How do I know how? Because I'm well studied. I understand theology. I understand what is spoken. So since I understand that, I can go in the Word of God and I can give a word according to how the Lord has given me a word. Okay, so I'm going to read here starting at the 8th chapter of Hebrew and the 7th verse. Well, if that first covenant had been faultless, the word covenant is defined when the word covenant is an agreement between two. When husband and wife decides that they want to join in holy matrimony, what do? They give their authority to join with one another. So that's what that word is defined as, covenant. That word is defined as an agreement between two. But here, our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking on behalf of a covenant that was made with Israel and with us. And I say and because this is a new covenant. So now we as chosen people of Christ are those who believe in the word. The Bible declares, if any man believe, then that man shall be saved. So there's no limitation on who can be saved according to Holy Scripture. So here I'm going to read Hebrews, the 8th chapter and 7th verse. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then But if that first covenant had been faultless, meaning there was fault in that first covenant, it was something wrong with the way the people was receiving it, then should no place have been sought for the second. So Israel, the first covenant, under the first covenant, that was Moses. Those were promises. So Israel, they backslid. They left the first covenant. But our Heavenly Father had mercy, and he decided to create another covenant. That's in another scripture. So Jeremiah had part of that promise. He was one of the ones that confirmed part of the promise. This is Jeremiah 31:31. I don't have time to go over there right now. 8 verse, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So those two nations is whom our Heavenly Father is making a new covenant with. We are a part of that covenant. How do I know that? Because this is the New Testament. So the life of Christ doesn't have anything to do with a man's work. That life is for those who believe it. And when we believe in the Word of God, then we need to understand how to believe in prophecy. Okay, 9th verse, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. So Israel was in slavery. They were under the Egyptians. But our Heavenly Father developed them and delivered them out of Egypt land by whom he worked with Moses. That's under the Pentateuch. We're not living over there anymore, but we honor that work because our Heavenly Father produced that work in the life of Moses. Because I'm going to read this once again, 9th verse. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, but they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. So the Lord didn't regard Israel after they backslid. They had backslid. It went back on the Lord. They was no longer serving him. They was no longer honoring none of the prophet's work, which was Moses. They left all the laws and rules and regulations. They left those. They left the teaching. They left all of that work that Moses had performed. Why? Because they made their mind up not to do that anymore. However, our Heavenly Father did not leave them. He still gave them another opportunity. He gave them another promise. He made another agreement with them. 10th verse. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, okay, I'll give you a number to call in, but I would like for you to call in as soon as I am completed with this work. If that's okay. So, we have a new covenant. We have a new promise. So, our lives is under the new covenant. That means that we have all the privileges and all the promises to live. To live. Verse, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Therefore, when the Lord speak a word to us, we know. We know when the Lord speak a word to us. Why? Because he have his word in our heart. 12th verse, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities, will I remember no more. So once we repent and once we receive the word of God, then we are in his perfect will. Repenting means to ask the Lord for forgiveness for our sin. And once we're received by Jesus Christ, after we repent, then we are ready to receive all of his promises, because he has forgiven us for all of our unrighteousness. He has forgiven us for all of our sins, and he has forgiven us for every level of evil that could be a part of our flesh. And he will not remember our sins anymore. 13 verse, and that he said, a new covenant he had made the first old. So the first promise is old now. It's of no more effect for living. So I want to read over this 13 verse. And that he said, a new covenant he says, excuse me, let me read this once again. And that he said, a new covenant he had made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. So we don't live by the work that Moses did, but we honor it because the work was performed at that particular time. But we don't live by that. We live by the gospel. And when we live by the gospel, that means that we need leaders and teachers whom the Lord have called to teach us. To teach us and give us a word so that we won't stumble. A child will stumble if the child does not have direction and a word from their parents which direction to go in. But we're not children, we are adults. So being adults, we still need to understand how to believe Jesus Christ through his word for holiness. Okay, so I'm going to go, but I'm still teaching on behalf of faith. Okay, so let's start here. I'm going to start here. The 17th chapter of Matthew. So here Jesus Christ, he's on the scene. Moses spoke of Jesus Christ. Moses was one of the prophets that spoke on behalf of Jesus Christ. He was confirming that a new prophet was coming forth. But Jesus Christ have more offices than just the prophet. He's the Savior. He's the teacher, he's the apostle. He has five offices. There's the apostle, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, and the prophet. So he works when he's in action. And you ever seen a prophet in action? When they're in action, they're very powerful. Very, very powerful. Why? Because they are working with all five offices. There's the fivefold office. So here Jesus Christ, he's teaching out of the gospel. So the gospel is holiness. That's how it's defined. So Jesus Christ is here teaching. He's working with doctrine. Doctrine meaning teachings. So he's teaching his disciples. So I want to start here at the 13th verse. I was going to start a little further down, we'll start the 13th verse. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist, he came with a work called the water baptism. The water baptism is defined as the process to seal our salvation. So once we go through the baptism part, that's the work that John did, then that seals us in the Lord for eternity. I don't have time to go through that teaching. That's another teaching. Water baptism, John the Baptist. Okay, the 14th verse. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 15th verse, Lord, have mercy on my son. So here's a person, their child is in trouble. So he have heard about Jesus. Jesus is here performing the gospel, the work of the gospel. And so this man, his child is in trouble, and he wants his child to be restored and to become a normal person. But he is a lunatic. The word lunatic is defined as a person who is legally insane, legally, mentally, and medically insane. So his child is insane, and he wants his child to have his mind back. And sorbex, when he says sorbex, that means that he's been driven. How? With evil. For oftentimes he falleth into fire and off into water. So his child is insane. So he have behaviors here as a person that does not have a mind. He does not know he's there. He is insane. When a person is legally insane, that means that person does not have the capability of knowing anything. They are there, but they cannot function as a mentally responsible person. But his father loves him, so he brought his son to Jesus, because Jesus is working. How? He's working with a healing ministry. 16 verse, and I brought him to thy disciples, meaning his students. So Jesus is here teaching and instructing his students. Where? He's just instructing them about the ministry of the gospel. And they could not cure him. So they couldn't cure him because why? Their faith was not developed yet. Faith has to be developed. So Jesus Christ is here demonstrating faith, but his students has not yet been developed enough for this particular condition, which is insanity, and they could not cure him. 17 verse, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, he's speaking on behalf of his disciple, because they don't have any faith in him to that level. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Bring him higher to me. So Jesus Christ is in full force. He's in full force. He is working the gospel. He's working the gospel. He's in full force in the word of God. Why? Because he was chosen by the Heavenly Father. He was chosen. He is a chosen child of God, and he is working the word of God. He's working with the ministry of healing. So although this person is in a severe state of mind, he is insane. But Jesus Christ, his disciples, they're walking with him, they're following him, but they still don't have enough faith to develop this person, to work with this person, to have this condition. They don't have enough faith so that our Heavenly Father would deliver this person out of this state of mental illness and sickness. His disciples, his students, Jesus Christ's students, does not have enough faith yet because they don't believe it. So it's still people like that. They'll listen, they run with him, they walk with him, but they do not believe it. So they cannot get the work done. But they've been walking with him. They understand that it's Almighty God who is working with him. But at this point in time, they can't get that level of the work done. They can't lay their hands on him and get him restored. So now they're going to bring the child to Jesus. 18 verse. And Jesus rebuked the devil. He rebuked him, meaning that he gave him a word to leave the child's body, because the devil was the reason why the child was insane. So we don't want the devil to be housed in our body. So here the devil was in the child's body and had caused the child to be mentally ill or mentally insane. So I'm going to read this once again. And Jesus rebuked the devil. When we rebuke something, the word rebuke meaning that we gave a word to, I'm reminded, if I'm going to rebuke my child, I'll tell my child, don't have a relationship with Jane Doe. That's rebuking the child. Why? Because I think Jane Doe, just using that statement as a, I'm using that statement as a example. So I'm going to rebuke my child. I'll tell my child, don't go down the streets, because I'm telling my child that because I don't want my child to run into no danger or no trouble. That's rebuking. So Jesus Christ is telling the devil to come out of this child. Everybody does not have that ability, but Jesus does. Why? Because he have faith in our Heavenly Father. 18 verse, I'm going to read over this again. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So now the child has been healed from that condition called insanity. He's no longer a lunatic. He's no longer mentally and clinically destroyed. Why? Because the one that caused the problem was the devil. And Jesus Christ here has rebuked the devil, called him out. We can't do that except now. We don't practice ministry like that, except the Lord condition us, develop us by other leaders and give us that ability, and we get confirmation from other leaders that we are qualified to do that much work. So it's good to know whom we are and what works we can do. But Jesus Christ is in full power here. So Jesus Christ have the authority from who? Our Heavenly Father, to rebuke the devil, meaning to call the devil out. That's casting out. So we don't cast out. We don't cast out or do any work of the gospel except the Lord give us a word to work the gospel, do the work of the gospel. And we know that, and we are confirmed by other leaders that we have that level of faith there so that we can do that work. So here, the 19th verse, then came, I'm getting ready to close here, not too long from now. Then came the disciples, Jesus, his students. The word disciple is defined as students, to Jesus, apart. So they came apart to Jesus and said, why could not we cast him out? 20th verse, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, because they didn't believe it. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence, meaning to be removed to yonder place, remove, I'm going to read this all over again, 20th verse, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. So that's a small amount of faith. However, his disciples didn't have it because they didn't believe him to that extent. They believed in him, but not to that extent. So Jesus Christ just performed what? A miracle. He performed a miracle. Why? Because he believed in our Heavenly Father, because our Heavenly Father is the one that gave him the ability to do the work. Okay, so here, I'm going to continue to read here. Ye shall say unto this mountain, with a mustard grain of faith, a mustard grain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, if they work with that prophecy that Jesus Christ just gave to them, if they work according to what Jesus Christ spoke to them, then they will have the ability to do the same work that Jesus Christ was able to do. But they couldn't do it at that point in time when they first was introduced to this person who had a evil with them, which was the devil, evil person, who had destroyed his mind. So they couldn't work with him because they didn't believe it. So Jesus Christ has given them another opportunity to believe in the ministry. If they perform this work here out of the 20th verse of the 17th chapter of Matthew, let's read this once again. And Jesus said unto them, because they asked him a question, why they asked Jesus why they couldn't cast the devil out of the person that had that condition. So Jesus Christ is going to give them another opportunity to follow him and to put this word in action. This is a prophecy. And Jesus said here, let's read, starting at the 19th verse. Then came the disciples, which is his student, to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? 20th verse, Jesus answering here. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith, that's faith, meaning that if they follow this prophecy that he is giving them right now, then they can cast the devil out. But if they don't believe in this particular prophecy, then they can't do it. I'm going to read this up once again, the 20th verse. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, but verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence, meaning to be removed. So this mountain is not talking about a physical mountain. It's talking about a problem that is impossible to be removed. But Jesus is labeling this statement as a mountain. So no matter how hard it is, he's giving them confidence in a word. If they follow this particular prophecy, if they do it because Jesus said it, because Jesus is the prophet here, he's the apostle, he's the teacher. So if they use this word as Jesus Christ is given to them, then they can cast the devil out. Otherwise, they can't do it. They still won't believe it. If they don't comply this word to their heart, they can't cast them out. But if they do, they can. So Jesus Christ is here speaking. He's not speaking a deep word. He's speaking a word which is prophecy, which is coming directly from his heart and mind. That's how we follow faith. So if they won't follow it, they can't get that level of work done. So I'm going to continue to read this word here. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. So he's telling his disciples, if you have faith, if you believe in this prophecy, he's speaking about prophecy. Prophecy is what our Heavenly Father has given. When we believe in prophecy, that means Jesus Christ spoke a word to our heart, and we complied our ears, we heard it, and we put that word in action. And then that's when we can get results from prophecy. Otherwise, if you don't, then you can't get that kind of results. That's why he's giving his disciples another chance to believe this level of work so that they can get that level of work process. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the deliverer. He's the one that came with a word from our Heavenly Father. He's working the gospel. So if I follow a prophet and a prophet give me a word, I'm just using this statement as an example. If that prophet give me a word and tell me that I want you to go west when you leave out of your home, and I want you to keep going until you get north. If I do that, then I can make it there because why? The prophet or the prophetess said it. Why? Because there is effective power there for me to make it there, because the prophet or the prophetess said it. If I don't, then I won't be able to make it in those directions. Why? Because I did not comply. My heart, I did not follow that prophecy. So prophecy is to be honored. And so we do know when our Heavenly Father is speaking a word of prophecy. Why? Because we are effective when we follow prophecy. So if his disciples follow this 20th verse, he's given them direction and instructions once again. So if they follow that word, then they can cast the devil out. Otherwise, they cannot, because they need to follow this particular prophecy. 21st verse. Now, Jesus Christ is going to give another instruction here. He's going to give another level of instruction how to get the devil out. 21st verse, howbeit. This word howbeit is an old word. It is defined as however. However, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So that prayer must come directly. We must get that request by what? Intercession. We need Jesus Christ to speak to our heart. And we need to be on a fast that Jesus Christ orchestrated, meaning he gave us a command to be on that fast. So I can decide I want to go on a fast with my heart. But if Jesus Christ, now he'll still honor it. Why? Because I'm a child of God. So he'll still honor it. But in this particular level of work, Jesus Christ is telling his disciples, this is the rule by prayer and fasting. Meaning that that person is to put up their request before Jesus Christ and be on a fast as Jesus Christ commanded them to go on. So he gave them the whole and completed way to get to that level of work to cast the devil out. Otherwise, if they just decide that they're going to do it with their mind, that does not work. That does not cause them to be effective at that level of work. But if they follow this level of prophecy here, which is instructions in the gospel, how to do that level of work for this particular condition that is in this particular person. So it doesn't have to be that same person. It can be another person that have that condition. But they must follow this prophecy here, the 20th verse and the 21st verse, and they can be effective then to cause that work to be effective for that person. Okay, so I'm getting ready to close here. I'm going to change my course here. I'm going to go over here to the book of Proverbs. I'm going to teach on behalf of giving. Giving is a part of the ministry, but we want to give where we can get effective growth. That's where we want to give. We don't want to just give out of our resources because we go to work, and that is labor. So I'm going to go here, and I'm going to start here, the third chapter of Proverbs and the 9th verse. So here, this work was written. This is the work of Solomon. This is the wisdom of Solomon. So here, this is the third chapter of, it's the third chapter of Proverbs and the 9th verse. Honor the Lord with thy substance. What is my substance? My substance is my labor. So if I labor a day, say I labored 1 hour, or 2 hours or 8 hours. Well, that means that I should have produced substance for that day. Okay, so if I labored for 5 days at the end of the week, then I should receive substance. However, when I receive my substance, the writer here is giving us a word here on the how to honor the Lord, meaning to respect. The word honor means to respect and trust, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all of thine increase, meaning the first part. So if I'm going to give the first part, maybe I can give $100, or maybe I can give $1. Whatever the first part of my fruits is, that's what the writer here is encouraging the giver to give out. The 10th verse. So now we're going to see how that after that we give, we are expecting to grow. We're expecting to grow somewhere. Now this 10th verse is a mystery. So shall thy barns, B-A-R-N-S, be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine, So barns, that's a place in heaven where our Heavenly Father have established for those of us who have given. All of our stuff should be established in heaven, in our Heavenly Father, and we should develop, but we still should get a tangible results, meaning we should get a physical results. When I give into a work as far as the gospel, then that means that I am expecting to receive and to grow in a way where I have plenty. I'm not in lack. I'm not begging. My mortgage is paid, my car note is paid, and I have the overflow. When the Lord said it, if the Lord spoke it to me, then if individuals follow it, then they should grow. So we should never be in a place of no growth. When the Lord said it, if he didn't say it, then that's where we can't get the results from Christ our Lord. So here, the tenth verse, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Out thy presses, that's a physical piece of machinery, but here the writer is speaking on behalf of presses, which is in a place in heaven, through our Heavenly Father. Now I'm over here in the book of Proverbs. This is the wisdom of Solomon. So here I also want to testify how that the Lord protects me. He protects my health. I don't get sick. I don't have sick days. And the Lord don't want none of his people to have those conditions. But this is how the Lord protects me. He do not allow me to get sick. I don't get bad colds. I get a little dry and I might cough a little bit, but I don't have sick days. Why? Because the Lord have my health protected. How? With his word. So at one time, when I was much younger than what I am now, I had tumors. And the Lord gave me a word. He told me, don't get no. Now, this is what he told me. I'm not telling no one else don't get it. Don't go through no surgery. I'm talking about me. So the Lord told me not to allow those doctors to give me no surgery. So I didn't. So the Lord healed me from all of those tumors. He removed them. He removed all of them. So I'm getting ready to close here, so I'm going to leave a number here. For the person's name spelled K-O-J-O, who joined the room. But I'm getting ready to close here. And remember to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, and with all your soul. And love yourself. Always love self. Right after the Lord Jesus Christ, love yourself. And love your neighbor as you do yourself. So I'm going to leave a number here. I'm going to leave two of them. So you can call in. So I'm going to leave that number for calling in. And I'm going to leave another number because I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. This is how you dial it. You can either text me or you can call me. So I'm closing here, and thank you for joining us.